Each day at the conclusion of his daily coronavirus briefing, Governor Mike DeWine of Ohio shares some music or poetry from a Buckeye State artist to provide a little bit of inspiration and hope and to end the presser on an upbeat note. The governor shared Aaron Copland's Fanfare for the Common Man, performed by the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, who commissioned the piece in 1942. And now comes the Fanfare Project in 2020, the CSO and Pops carrying on the tradition, commissioning new music from over a dozen composers with the aim to inspire, uplift, and to help us make sense of this moment in our shared history through the universal language of music. Good evening for Around Cincinnati. I'm Elaine Deal, joined by phone with one of the Fanfare Project composers, Peter Boyer. Peter, welcome.
Thank you. Hello, Elaine.
Where am I finding you today, Peter?
I am in my home studio in the Los Angeles area.
We're not going to dwell on the pandemic, but you were having an incredible year until everything stopped, including a brand new work for the 90th anniversary season of the National Symphony Orchestra to be performed at the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. And then everything ground to a halt. Can you tell us, Peter, briefly, what were you doing when the world stood still?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Well, I actually had just completed the work you mentioned for the 90th anniversary of the National Symphony Orchestra at the Kennedy Center, a piece called Balance of Power, which was commissioned by them and will be premiered a year from now in May of 2021. That piece had just been completed and delivered and was in the middle of what was to have been my busiest season ever in terms of performances, with about 100 performances total scheduled for the season. And I think around 65 or 70 of those happened before we all, of course, found ourselves in this terrible situation and performances were canceled everywhere. So it was kind of riding high and then, like everyone else, coping with this new reality. And, of course, the CSO's Fanfare Project is kind of an outgrowth of the situation that we find ourselves in.
So what is the Fanfare Project? How did you get involved?
I was invited by my friends at the CSO and Cincinnati Pops, particularly Sam Strader, who is a key administrator for the Pops side of things. And, of course, I've done a couple projects for them before that happily turned out well. So I, along with thus far a dozen other composers, have been invited to participate. And I think this is really a wonderful idea on the part of Cincinnati Symphony to respond to this moment in a way that falls within our limitations of what's possible for performance, which at this moment, of course, is essentially very limited to individual players at home, but also brings together a really tremendous group of composers to create new music in the midst of all of this. And I think it's a wonderful idea that this was born out of the Cincinnati Symphony's very famous World War II era series of commissions, 1942-43, in which 18 fanfares were premiered. And of course, the most famous of those by far is Aaron Copland's Fanfare for the Common Man, which has become so iconic and associated not only with Cincinnati, but with American orchestral music in general, I would say. So we were each given a task to compose a new piece with the limitation of a single orchestral player, which of course is a pretty big challenge, and to do it in 1 minute and to have something hopefully to say to this current moment. So for my project, I chose French horn. I thought that would be a great instrument because of its range and tonal color. And I wrote a 1 minute fanfare called Fanfare for Tomorrow, which is sort of generally looking ahead to hopefully brighter tomorrows. And this is being recorded by the wonderful principal horn of the CSO, Elizabeth Freimuth. So I'm looking forward to that being revealed soon, as well as that of all the other composers.
Do you know if she has recorded it yet?
It is about to happen. We've actually had FaceTime, which has become quite a necessary way to communicate these days, and it's really interesting to be looking in that wonderful musician's studio or living room or bedroom and hear them play for you and comment on that over FaceTime. And it's a really tremendous collection of composers, very diverse, so I think that is going to provide a lot of bright moments in these weeks ahead.
I recently interviewed the violinist Jennifer Coe, and she spearheaded what she calls her Alone Together project, 30-second pieces for, you know, people like herself who had just lost all of their gigs, all of their work. And she said at the time she put it together, 30 seconds felt like something that was manageable. So how limiting was it to you to be held to 60 seconds?
It's very limiting, and especially for just a single instrument. And by choosing a wind or a brass instrument, you know, one is choosing an instrument that can only play one note at a time, right? So one is not going to have harmony except that which is implied, just a single melodic line. But on the other hand, I think it's great to have a kind of box in which you're asked to create something and see how you can come close to the edges of that box and do something that is interesting. So, you know, I found myself saying, well, 1 minute, one instrument, really every note counts. I mean, there's nothing superfluous whatsoever. And how can one make a statement within those parameters? So I think it's turned out fairly well, and I could imagine this 1 minute for solo horn perhaps down the road being expanded into something where, once again, we can have a full orchestra and take this material and do something that way. But it's a great little challenge. And looking at the list of other instruments that other composers have chosen, I think we're in for some really interesting treats that will explore the imagination of these various composers.
Did anyone else choose horn?
No, I think they're all different. I haven't memorized the list, but looking at it, it looked like they were across the range of the orchestra. You might think, for example, that with a fanfare, everybody's going to choose trumpet, but it looked like I think there was only a single trumpet in the list that I saw, which was actually my first thought, of course, was trumpet. When you say fanfare, trumpet seems like the obvious choice, but I thought in this case, French horn can actually go lower, can't go quite as high, but you've got a bigger range to deal with, and I thought that would be fun to explore. And I'm very happy that Liz Freimuth, she just is so enthusiastic, and she's such a great player, and so I can't wait to hear her and see the video.
My guest is composer Peter Boyer, and you do have quite a history with the Cincinnati Symphony and Pop. So what's the connection between you guys?
There have been two commissions, both on the pop side, the first of which, a piece called Rolling River, Sketches on Shenandoah, which it's a nice I like that. And that was the first time that I'd been asked to create an orchestral setting of an American folk tune, which, of course, that is an anonymous tune, most likely from somewhere in the early to mid-19th century. And I'd never really been asked to do that before, but I thought that was a wonderful thing to try to do and to create a five-minute orchestral setting. And so the Cincinnati Pops have recorded that on their first American Originals album and played it many times in concert over the last several years. And then that was followed more recently by a commission for a Veterans Day-themed piece for the American Originals 1918 album, which was the second one. And this was a piece for solo trumpet and orchestra called In the Cause of the Free, performed by Robert Sullivan, the terrific principal trumpeter, and the Pops and John Morris Russell. And that's a about 6.5-minute piece. It's kind of an homage to veterans, and that was performed in Music Hall shortly after the reopening, a really wonderful recording. And as you know, the American Originals 1918 album was nominated for a Grammy for Best Classical Compendium, and was fun to actually spend some time with folks from the CSO and Pops at the Grammys in February. Even though it didn't win, it was still a great thing to do. So the relationship has been there, and I'm really very pleased indeed to be asked to write another piece for them.
Peter, last year you were honored with the Ellis Island Medal of Honor, one of the most prestigious American awards, so congratulations on that. You do write about this country a lot. Talk about the inspiration you find in American themes.
Thank you. Yes, that's thank you for the congratulations, and that was a very, very special moment. Ellis Island, The Dream of America, is my most well-known piece, a big piece, a 45-minute piece for actors and orchestra, and having composed that piece and premiered it back, amazingly, 18 years ago in 2002, the widespread embrace of that work by the American orchestral world has opened a lot of doors for me and, of course, naturally has led to other invitations to write pieces on American themes. And so it's something that, I have to say, comes fairly naturally to me. For whatever reason, I think growing up with a certain love for what you might call mainstream classical American repertoire, the works of Aaron Copland, the works of Leonard Bernstein, the works of John Williams, who happily is still with us, and others. All of that music I came to love and to study very much as a young composer. And I think it kind of seeped into my bloodstream. And so this comes very naturally to me, even though there are plenty of other things that I have written about and can write about. But, you know, there is an American orchestral tradition which is near and dear and close to my heart, and my interest in certain American themes and subject matter is very much ongoing. So while there's always a danger, I suppose, of being perhaps stereotyped as a certain type of composer, I'm nonetheless very honored when anyone compares my music to any of those composers in a kind of affectionate way, and always happy for these sorts of opportunities. We're living, obviously, in very, very challenging times for all of us, some more so than others. So, you know, I think there's never a more important time for the kind of uplift that this kind of music can bring to us than in great times of difficulty. And I think the Fanfare Project is a great manifestation of that.
Any ideas what you'll be doing next? Granted, we don't know what next is or when next will be.
Well, interestingly, there were a couple of projects fairly significant in scope, I mean, you know, much larger than a one-minute fanfare, that were getting ramped up right before the pandemic hit and the entire world was placed on hold. So I'm hoping that after things get back to normal, however and wherever that may be, that these projects will get resuscitated and will come to life, one of which is a potential violin concerto for Philip Quint, who is a wonderful multi-Grammy nominee violinist and really tremendous performer, and the other of which is a piece that is proposed by the American pianist Jeffrey Beagle, who's had a lot of consortium commissions he's put together, and he's looking ahead to the centennial of Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue in 2024 and thinking about a piece for piano and orchestra, another rhapsody that would in some way pay homage to the Gershwin and live in that sort of centennial space. So that's another project that was just getting thought about and beginning to have some initial sketches before the world went crazy. So I'm hoping both of those projects will come to pass sometime down the road.
Maestro Louis Langres said about the Fanfare Project, "I can't imagine a better way to continue our anniversary celebration than using Aaron Copland's iconic masterpiece to inspire today's composers to write new work that helps us reflect on this time and unite around music at a time when we cannot be together in person." My guest has been Peter Boyer, one of the Fanfare composers. For a link to all of his music and to the Fanfare Project, visit our website, wvxu.org. For 91.7, I'm Elaine Deal.